It is another beautiful and blessed day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About It with your host, that is me, Selwyn Robbins. Hope everyone has been well, blessed, healthy, living each day to its fullest, and that actually is a true term. It's called carpe diem, a Latin term, something that I learned in my 12th grade year. Yeah, my senior year. That was actually the theme for our prom, and I've kept it in my memory, if nothing else, over those years. I always remember that. So no matter what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you're doing your best to live each day to its fullest. I know, especially in this trying times, and it seems like we will always have trying times, but we have to understand what is the best way for us individually and collectively to navigate each day, right? So one of those ways is to have a better mindset. And I know personally for me, I try to do so. I am not always great at it. Some days everything just kind of weighs down on me and I just kind of go through the motions for that day. But I have to say, for the most part, I am able to maintain a good attitude throughout so that I can make it to the end of any day. It's just so key. You know, we have a month that is designated for mental health, and you know, there are so many aspects that go into that, but just as a broad statement, take the time out to check your mental state, and good or bad. Don't think that just because everything is good that there's nothing bad, and just because things may seem negative to you that there's nothing good. Always take stock of your mental state. It is always a good thing to do. I tell you personally, for me, like about a week and a half ago, going into the holiday weekend, Memorial weekend, if I'm correct, that my whole lower back for some reason was just tight and in pain, and I didn't understand why. My wife and I, we actually made a trip down to see our newest grandson, little Zane. Awesome, beautiful, handsome young man. So glad that we were able to make that little trip down there. But when we came back, my lower back was just in pain, and I attributed it to work, actually, because I was working pretty hard going into the weekend, and it could have possibly been the long trip as well. A total of 8 hours, 4 down and 4 back. But I think overall it was my body telling me that I need to take a rest. I need to have a break for myself. And, you know, especially for us men, we normally don't do that until we go through pain. But I have to say, I've been trying to be more adamant of taking those days off, or when I come home, don't do anything, just rest my mind and my body. Also trying to do what I can to eat healthy just as well. So with that, I just want to leave you with this quick word before I get into what I'm going to talk about today. And that is, just take stock of where you are, both physically, mentally, spiritually. These are the things that we depend on, but at the same time, there are items in our lives that we may take advantage of, or how do I want to say, we may not put it as a priority on our list. So with that, going into what we're going to speak about today, I'm truly excited. I really am. And I got to tell you, you know, this past week, I've made a major accomplishment in my life, and I'll tie that into what I'll talk about. So the last episode, I brought up a video. It was probably a 2-minute video from Dr. Jordan Peterson. And in that clip, he was asked by an interviewer, she was doing it was a documentary that she was conducting, and she interviewed him, and she brought up a statement that some of the men that listened to him felt that he was telling them it's okay to be a man. And his reply is that it's not okay to be a man, it's necessary to be a man. And in that, he also mentioned the term toxic masculinity. I can't remember if it was before or right after that particular statement. And I just wanted to touch on toxic real quick before I get into his profound statement that, you know, right now where I am when it comes to toxic masculinity, I don't like the term just simply because we lead off conversations with that term. It is a factual thing because there are men and young men out there that are leading lives or in a state where their lives are toxic, whether they created it themselves or they're surrounded by it. I think more so we're kind of surrounded by toxicity, but we live with toxicity internally, meaning we were modeling characteristics from somebody, their thoughts, their actions, or we put it on ourselves. It was something we disciplined ourselves to do. And that word in itself is an umbrella for so many different things that are negative to manhood, fatherhood, husbands. It's very important to talk about that topic, but that's not for today. But I just want to put that out there. So I would say anybody in that conversation, change it, not to cast aside the subject it's at all of toxicity, but to change it to say, let's speak about healthy masculinity, right? Because there are, I believe, truly way more healthy men than there are toxic men. I know you can look at the prison system and say, well, we have so many men, young men locked away. That obviously is a housing for some kind of emasculating behavior, whether we've done it to ourselves or somebody else outside of us. But nonetheless, the prison system is one thing, but outside of that, we have way more men. And you know what, let me correct myself on that. Even within the prison system, yes, they may have done something that's contrary to being that ideal man. But at the same time, I want to believe that there are good men in the system just as well, for whatever reason. But they are there for whatever reason. But I truly believe many of them are wanting to turn their lives around. So I don't want to just say it's the prison system. By all means, it is not. So let me please forgive me on that. I just want to make sure that we're including everybody in here in the sense of the availability of becoming a healthy man. All right. Okay. So to get into the statement of it's not okay to be a man, it's necessary. What I believe that Dr. Peterson was saying, and I want to lead off with this real quick, is that he was not casting shade or putting aside the validity of any woman at all. I don't think that was even part of the conversation. I think what he was really resonating to, and what I really like, is that so many times throughout the day or the month, even years, men are not really counted for. And this is what I mean is we're designated to Father's Day and probably a birthday, right? We're not, and let's say, and in that holidays, that's specific to Father's Day. And that's for the most part all we have. And you know, that's fine in what it is for whatever season and time frame. But I really believe that we are discounted a lot. And when we add this statement to us, and I'll just say add it to me, it honestly empowered me to let me know that I was necessary, because there are days I go through wondering, what in the world am I even doing here on God's green earth? What is it that I'm even aiming for? You know, why is it that I'm even showing up every day? And when I think about that statement and applying it to my life, once again, it's not about the opposite gender. It's just about what men were created to do. And this is my opinion, my thought here. What men were created to do. We were created to build. We were created to put our hands to the plow. We were created to erect buildings, to, yes, dig ditches. We were built for this. And, you know, these are the jobs. There's some jobs, so many jobs that people just don't want to do. I remember when I was growing up in Baytown, Texas, I always saw, just like today, it hasn't changed, the industry of garbage trucks. I would always see the garbage trucks and the guys coming through, picking up the trash, throwing it in the truck and going on to the next house. And I can't say I looked down on that per se, but I was like, oh man, that job doesn't look interesting. It doesn't do anything for me, right? But then, you know, years on, once again, this industry really hasn't changed for the most part, with the exception of how trash is gathered and more so recycled these days, which is honestly a great thing. It made me also think about how important that job is. Can you think about, you know, I wasn't even alive, you know, at this time before the city garbage was picked up. You know, if I remember correctly, stuff was just thrown out the windows. I want to say this is probably in Europe. Just trash was just thrown out the windows, and that's where it was. You know, today, if you look at third world countries, unfortunately, I want to say probably India is one well-known area that they don't have that sanitation system. But somebody has to do it. I don't know if it's because somebody may get fed up with it or somebody sees there's a need, but somebody has to do it. And I think that's where the men really come into play. Somebody has to go dig that ditch. Somebody has to go down into the sewer. Somebody has to erect that skyscraper hanging from a lanyard 500 feet above the air, right? Or excuse me, above the ground. Somebody has to do it. And that's where men come in to be necessary. And it's not, I don't think it's necessarily about a physical strength at all. Yes, naturally, men are stronger than women. That's just how we were created. But once again, I don't think it's necessarily about the physical strength. But I think it's about how we were built and the purpose we were built for. God, I truly believe God created us in such a way that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're supposed to be involved with a certain thing. We're supposed to be speaking towards a certain thing. We're supposed to be nurturing a certain thing. Women have more of a nurturing emotion and or spirit than men do. It's not that men don't have it, but that's not something that stands out about men. The one thing that you see about men, more noticeably, is their strength, their physical strength, right? So that automatically says that there's some kind of not just strength, but power behind them, that they can not just move, let's say, a piece of furniture around, but they can pick up 5 bags of trash at the same time and throw it out. There's something about how a man demonstrates what a man is to be. And when I think about this statement from Dr. Peterson, that is, men are necessary. Oh my God, it is so powerful to know that at least somewhere in this world, some part of this world, that we have a responsibility, we have a place for our skill set, right? I totally believe, you know, for me, I like to organize things. I can really do that. My wife can just as well. But for me, I know that's something that I can do. Put anything in front of me, I can rearrange it in a way that works. That's part of my talent. You know, for a man to not know, and I want to say this is very important, for a man to not know his direction in life, because it's something I deal with, not knowing his direction in life then feeds into the house not knowing its own direction. This is why men are necessary, because you lead the way. You are designed to lead the way. You are created to lead the way. And let me say this, leading is not always in front. I'm going to say that again. Leading doesn't mean that you have to be the one seen. Leading many times can be you being in the back. This is why men are necessary. You being in the back, elevating, empowering, pushing, guiding, nurturing, supporting those that you are responsible for. Why? Because I'll say it this way, as I mentioned, women have that nurturing and that beautiful emotional spirit with them. And men, we're, once again, we're not necessarily created in that fashion. Not that we don't have it, but it's not the first thing about us. So when trouble comes, right, when trouble comes, we have the capability to separate ourselves from the emotion and tie into the trouble and handle what needs to happen. With the emotion coming in, with the wife coming in, she also can help, influence the direction of what is going on, right? And for any women that's listening, please, I love you. I'm not trying to say anything offensive about you. You definitely have a play in the things that are going on. But just specific to men, you are a part. You are integral to the function of this world. You are integral to the function of your household. But first and foremost, you have to be integral to the function of yourself. And I was just recently in a job interview, and the manager asked me, said, what is one of the first things you think a coach should be? And I said, I think a coach in any arena really should know themselves first. And this is why I say that, is when you are building somebody, you have to know how you interact with people. But first, you have to know how you interact with yourself, right? Being honest with yourself, knowing your ups and downs, knowing your pitfalls, knowing your highs. That, I truly believe, enables you to see those same things in a person that you're speaking to, a person that you're trying to build up. And this is necessary. Once again, that as we, from a manhood standpoint, as we are working towards that, let's say, that ever glory of manhood, you know, that man for all men, you know, the statement goes, you know, he's a guy's guy, right? It takes us to know not just who we are and the things that we're good at or bad at, our negatives, our positives, our ups and downs, you know, the things that make us move. It's also important to know that we need to keep moving. It's a hard thing. It really is. Not all the time, though. I don't want to put so much weight on it's a hard thing, right? Because I think we just continue to say that just as a default, man, it's hard, it's hard. No, it's not. We're just saying that because it's something easy to say. And it's something easy to say because we don't want to do what we're supposed to be doing. So we just default to that thing that's going to keep us from moving forward. But if we get out of that mindset and take that next step, we'll see how critical it is for us to be present and accounted for. And this then ties in, this is the necessity of men. This then ties into how we then demonstrate to the younger generation, listen to this, how we then demonstrate to the younger generation what it takes to get to where we are. And it's not that we're perfect. It's not that we have it all together, but we've had to go through life's trials just in order to be here. You know, this year I'm going to be 50 years old, and I can't say I necessarily have 50 years of experience because I don't remember my first year. You know, I'm a baby. I don't remember all that. But I do have years of experience that I can utilize to help someone else navigate their life. This is why it's necessary. Men are necessary. That I have sons and I have daughters. I have grandsons and I have granddaughters that need to know who I am, where I am in my life. This is where men are necessary. They need to know that I have a voice. This is where men are necessary. They need to know that I can cry just like anybody else. This is why men are necessary. They need to know that I can celebrate the best thing of that day in their life. This is why men are necessary. They need to know that I have a stance between right and wrong. They need to know that I can stand up against something that's resembling some form of injustice. This is why men are necessary. They need to know that I can band together with my brothers in Christ and pray someone through. This is why men are necessary. They need to know that I'm going to do what I'm supposed to keep my household afloat. This is why men are necessary. And in this, I want to say, and this is the thing that I really want to share as well, is that just a few minutes ago, I told you I just did one of the biggest things of my life, but it's not the only thing that I'm going to do with my life. So as of October 31st, my very first book called I Am Restored is available for purchase on Amazon. And this in itself is just a walk through a few stories of my life in just being transparent with my downfalls, but also the times that I was able to get back up, climb back up the hill and get on top of the mountain. You know, it's restoring myself. And I say this because too many times we let our failures keep us down and don't realize that we can get back to a place where we're doing better. This is me being restored. And how I had to understand this, and actually I don't even think I put this in a book, is that one Sunday in church, this was in 2014, I had been separated and divorced. And during worship, the Lord ministered to me through one of the songs that the worship team was singing. And it's actually a song by Hillsong called Beautiful Exchange. And it showed me, it revealed to me how God can still use me. And then in that, he ministered to me once again with the story of Peter, of how Peter was so adamant about supporting Jesus Christ, so adamant about cutting off the ear of Malchus, you know, in defense of Jesus, but yet was the very one to run and turn when Jesus was arrested, his ultimate failure, right? And we tend to really hold on to that a lot, but we also forget that Jesus restored Peter by one conversation, asking him one question three times. Peter, do you love me? Three times, right? So in that, he told me he still can use me. And through the book, you'll find that I'm just transparent, honest about where I was at that particular time in my life and where I am now. I'm restored. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters as well, is that I don't want you to hold on to the failure. Find a time and get the forgiveness for yourself. And I had to understand, what does forgiveness mean for me? Normally, we know Jesus Christ forgives us, right? Automatically, no problem. But we tend not to forgive ourselves. And I asked that question, what does it mean for me to forgive myself? And I realized what it is that I give myself another chance to get it right. You too have another chance to get it right. A man can fall seven times, right? Come on, seven times seven, that's 49. As much as you fall, you can come back. But I don't want you to stay in the state of failure. I want you to stay in a perpetual state of moving, of forgiveness, of love and mercy, and know that Jesus Christ got you. Hey guys, this is your host Selwyn Robbins for Let's Talk About It. I hope you have enjoyed, and please, please share this podcast with whomever is around you, whoever you feel that can benefit from it. Also, please check out the book, I Am Restored. The Kindle version is available right now, the Kindle version will be available October 1st. The paperback copy is available right now. So, hey, please support, and I would love to get feedback from you. Please shout an email out to me. Let's talk.